This feature has been brought to you by Slot Foundation, which needs your support to continue projects like these. Information on this recording and access to other recordings is available online at slot.org.
I'm working on a project called Care of the City. I moved to Detroit from New York in 2006, and around 2010, 2011, for a number of different factors, which I can get into, I started to ask myself, why is it that just about all of the artists, contemporary artists that is, who have any recognition, the Detroit artists who have any recognition outside Detroit, national and international, they are more or less artists who would fall into a broad conception of social practice. Why is this? I also came to feel, and I knew many of these people, they became my friends almost from the moment that I arrived in Detroit. And by the way, an important part of this is that I arrived just in time to be one of the founding members of the Museum of Contemporary Art Detroit. So I knew these artists, and more or less, with one or two exceptions, I also came to feel that this form of art called social practice, sometimes more accurately post-studio art, was really the most compelling art being produced in Detroit. So I started to think about this, and in a way I came upon the idea of care almost by accident. My family is Francophone. I happened to have been having a conversation with my elder daughter one summer, in the summer of 2010, about English words that don't exist in French. And we were having this little conversation, and I came up with care, because anyone who has read Foucault knows that there are two different French words for care, le soin et le souci, right? They're not the same thing. The Foucault work that is translated as care of the self is souci de soi, okay? And we were talking, and then we got into this thing on care, because having been trained first in continental philosophy, of course, there is one philosopher who has, from the get-go, made care fundamental to the very idea of what philosophy is, the practice of philosophy, as well as to the understanding of human existence, and that is, of course, Martin Heidegger. And the concept of care, Sorge, is absolutely central. Within psychoanalytic practice, the Kleinian school, and particularly the people around Donald Winnicott, the intersection between Winnicott and some of the disciples, like Bowlby of Klein, developed a concept of care. So I had this conversation with my daughter, and so one thing led to another. And then I listened to a broadcast of Krista Tippett. I'm sure many of you know Krista Tippett does this extraordinarily important interview program called Fresh Air, where she interviewed the Duke theologian Ellen Davis, who had recently, then in 2010, published a book called Scripture, Culture, and Agriculture, which, by the way, has 10 or so very interesting pages on Detroit. And the subject of the conversation was care. So, of course, the surrealist part of me was noticing this coincidence. Okay, so I thought, okay, that's interesting. And I listened to this program, found it very, very interesting. Of course, immediately ordered the book and started reading in it. I also read Le Monde online, right? And, no, Le Monde Diplomatique, which I subscribe to. And lo and behold, I saw this article on Martine Aubry, who was the general secretary, or then, I don't know if she still is, of the Parti Socialiste, talking about the word care. I thought, what's going on here? The French don't use English words as that often. What's going on? And, of course, by now, we're into what psychoanalysis calls overdetermination, and then there is a marvelous philosophy program on France Culture, radio station, called Nouveau Chemin de la Connaissance. And the whole week was devoted not to le soin, le souci, but to le care, at which point I gave up. So I gave up, and so I said, I now need to go and find out what is happening, that the French, the Secretary General of the French Socialist Party, the equivalent of Radio 3 and BBC Radio, France Culture, all right across the spectrum, and then I noticed there's a whole plethora of books always using the English word le care. I quickly came to realize that the source of this in the French case was this extraordinary woman, psychologist Carol Gilligan, of whom I was completely ignorant at the time. I'm no longer ignorant. Who wrote whose work is very much in a different voice from the 1980s, was the work that made her famous, was the basis of what is called an ethic of care. So I now started to look through this and to relate it to things that I knew already in psychoanalysis and the work of Heidegger. At which point I started to ask myself the question, not what are the various artists who call themselves social practitioners doing, but what is the subject of social practice, right? If a discipline is definable, we have to ask, what is its subject? And when, without going into the various ways that I went about this, I came to the view that the subject of social practice is care. And let me go through a structure that I've devised, and this structure was in part inspired by my living in Detroit with artist practitioners, some of the work we will look through, the work of the Heidelberg Project, the work of the Darbles African American Bead Museum, the work of the Powerhouse Project, my friend Scott Hocking, who is not a social practitioner, but a post-studio artist, I think, of a very high order. Being with these artists helped me to have a sense of the concrete, but there was no theorization of the practice. And so though my work was initially inspired by Detroit, I was very, very careful, and this speaks to Aaron's introduction, that my work was never uniquely about Detroit. And when I started to teach the class called Care of the City, initially Detroit, I put down as a postulate that our work had to be national and international. For instance, the second exhibition of the new Museum of Contemporary Art, Detroit, of which I was a part, was an exhibition called Shrinking Cities. And the shrinking cities were Detroit, Liverpool, Leipzig, and so forth. In other words, the shrinking city was not something that was unique to the Midwest. It was structural. And its structure is, of course, determined by global capital in no small part. So I said to my students, there is not a single problem that Detroit has. I repeat, not a single problem Detroit has that is unique to Detroit. If you can find a problem that is unique to Detroit, let me know. Therefore, methodologically, it is absolutely essential that this course, this class, these reflections not be understood to be uniquely about Detroit, but they are historically centered in Detroit and for good reasons. So I came up with, eventually, with a structure, and I'm going to concentrate in only two parts of the structure to do with the idea of care and the idea of dialogue. And the structure that I've come up with, which is now shaping my book, Care of the City, the Detroit part was only my class. The book is to do with problems of, subtitle is Participation, Community, and Practice. Because eventually I came around to ask myself the question, by the way, what is the practice in social practice? Because when I started to ask this question, it was not at all obvious to me that anyone had posed this question, what is the practice in social practice? So the structure that I came up with is that social practice is an art that responds to, using the French word Jean-Michel, retrait, right? Retrait. Our mentors, Jean-Luc Nancy, Philippe Lacour-Labarthe, made significant work philosophically and poetically of the concept of the retrait, that is to say, withdrawal. That we are in a time of withdrawal, voiding, collapsing, of structures, economic structures, social structures, which entail also structures of care. And that one way in which we can look at the iconography of ruination, for example, is as evidence, symptoms, better than evidence, symptoms in the psychoanalytic sense of this retrait. Care, so this retrait leads to this voiding, this emptying out, this withdrawal. And care is a response, is one of the response to this retrait, of this withdrawal. So retrait, the withdrawal, care, Greek, biblical Greek term, episkepteste, which simply means to visit. But I want to make a very brief argument about what it means to visit, because interestingly, the biblical Greek term, episkepteste, is always translated as either to visit or to care. Play, dialogue. These are the main parts of the structure that I've been exploring. Care. First, and I'm going to be very brief, care as opposed to what? Because this is very important. Care as opposed to love. Right? We cannot love what we do not know, what or whom we do not know, but we can manifestly care about what or whom we do not know. Every time that there is some natural disaster, be it Fukushima, the nuclear meltdown in Japan, be it the miners in Chile, be it Katrina in New Orleans, there is an outpouring of care. We can't call it love, that would make no sense. But there's an outpouring of what can be called care, not love. And why can we call that care? And this is where I want to refer to Heidegger very briefly. Because Heidegger, in his analysis of care, and the main argument of Heidegger on care, is that care is the way in which we know the future. Care is to do with temporality. You can't care if you do not have a concept of the future. And care is the access to that future. So therefore, care is about, if you want, in contemporary parlance, a notion of sustainability, of continuance into a future. But Heidegger has this brilliant, absolutely extraordinary and profound expression. He says that in moments of radical anxiety, there is a collapse of familiarity. Right? There's a collapse of familiarity. And it is in such moments of collapse of familiarity that something is revealed, our interrelatedness. And for Heidegger, it is absolutely essential that the interrelatedness is not simply to do with other people. We can be interrelated to things, to nature, to the environment, to animals. There is this radical openingness. And this radical openness, this sense of radical interrelatedness, is what Heidegger means in part by care. Anxiety reveals care. So, not love. Also, not dominion. Helen Davis's book I mentioned earlier, Scripture, Culture, and Agriculture, is part of a movement in contemporary theology that says, and Bethany, this is what we were touching on in our very brief conversation as we met each other, we need to look at problems of translation and the politics of translation. And she's part of a movement of scholars, and I can only rely on the work of others here. I do not have biblical Hebrew, to say we need to retranslate Hebrew Bible and to move beyond the politics of translation embodied in, say, the King James. Because it is the politics of translation that has given us the idea that a divine being gave us dominion over everything, right? Everything that is not God, everything we are given dominion over, the animals, everything that crawls, everything that reproduces, and to do so in a hierarchical sense rather than a non-hierarchical sense. In other words, rather than to say we are given a charge and the charge is to care. The charge is not to dominate, right? The charge is not to dominate. The charge is not to exercise power, but to exercise care. So not dominion, not love. And then third, And this is what I learned from Carol Gilligan's great book, In a Different Voice, and subsequently authors of a younger generation of feminist psychologists and critical theorists like Joan Tronto, whose book Moral Boundaries is subtitles Towards a Politics of Care. Care must be gendered. It is gendered in the ordinary sense. And in the ordinary sense, when it is gendered, care is something that women perform traditionally. Caretaking of homes, but in particular, caretaking of bodies, of other bodies. And this has been important in my conceptualization of the idea of retrait, that at certain moments of intense crisis, we begin to relate to a city. It could be a Lebanon, it could be Detroit. There was a fabulous exhibition a number of years ago at Storefront for Architecture in New York that brought together photography from Lebanon, Sarajevo, and Belfast. And it was partly to explore the thesis of what was called wounded cities. So the idea here is that at certain moments of crisis, we begin to look at the city as a body. And just as a body requires certain kind of care, let me be plainer, the care of the hands, right? And is built upon an image of reciprocity. Likewise, there are moments in the city that not only that we look at the city as a body, but that the city itself requires the work of the hands. And that this work of the hands stands in, as it were, metonymically, for what we mean by participation, right? That when in contemporary social practice, the core of any idea of social practice is the idea of participation, the idea of presence, right? And this is where I lead to this biblical Greek term, episkeptistai, which means to visit. In the biblical Greek, and you can look at Matthew 25, you can look at James 27. There are so many translations, but they vary between two things. I was naked and you clothed me, says Matthew. I was naked and you clothed me. I was in prison and you visited me. Which is also translated, I was naked and you clothed me. I was in prison and you cared for me. That wherever the Greek word verb to visit is used, it is also translated as to care. And what I infer from that is the principle that what is at issue is not simply extending an abstract idea of help. You know how, fundraiser, I'll send a check. What is required is not a check. What is required is one's presence. Because what is required by one's presence is the work of the hands, is proximity, is the being face to face, face to face. And this, it strikes me, is one of the cornerstones of contemporary social practice. It's what Rick Lowe means when he says that social practice, a term that he himself doesn't necessarily like, but he's being overwhelmed by usage, so he rolls with it. He speaks of social practice as a politics of staying, that the artist who practices social practice doesn't just parachute in, as it were, here are my ideas for the community, ba-da, now go and do it, but that one has to practice. Another term that Grant Kester from University of California, San Diego uses is durational practice. The social practice is a durational practice, and I hope not too controversially, I want to argue that underlying this idea of the politics of staying, durational practice, is a very ancient idea captured in this biblical Greek term, episkeptistai, visiting, being alongside, caring. And that we can only care in this sense if in some way we try to embody, we try to be present to, we try to be alongside. Indeed, one of the other connotations of caring, Heideggerian or otherwise, is in the idea of being alongside. Remember the great union movement in Poland from the 1970s and 80s, Solidarność, solidarity, right? And solidarity means precisely to be alongside, to care, not from a distance, but side by side in presence at hand. Lastly, and then I'll stop here, is that all of this implies a notion of proximity that implies dialogue, that one is not here to give instructions. One is there to participate. And how can we participate without dialogue? In the chapter on dialogue that I'm writing in my book right now, I look at Paulo Freire, Guy Debord, and Beuys within a framework of the Socratic dialogue, because I do not accept Jacques Rancière's argument against the Socratic form as an elitist form. On the contrary, there's an amazing discussion of this in Jacob Klein, the idiosyncratic classicist who wrote a commentary on Plato's Meno, in which he quotes the German classicist Paul Friedlander that says, the dialogue, the Socratic dialogue, the Platonic dialogue, is the form of the book that most effectively suspends the form of the book, right? The dialogue is the form of the book that most effectively suspends the form of the book, which I construe, particularly in a Blanchotian line of thinking, as interrupting established practices. That dialogue, as it were, requires us to enter into something open, non-hierarchical, and which is the result, and this is what I think is supremely Socratic, but it's also there in Guy Debord, and which results in a common activity or a common project. Right? This is exactly, these are the terms that Debord uses in a piece called The Ideology of Dialogue. Dialogue between, in a free association of individuals, leads to a common project. And if it is a common project, then that means there is not a blueprint for it. There is not someone or something that says, this is what be done. And that strikes me, when we get down to it, as the significance of dialogue, and why, indeed, in all of the social practice forms that I'm familiar with, something like dialogue is absolutely essential. Grant Kester, his proposal for the name of this type of practice is not social practice, but conversational art, right? He wrote a book called Conversational Pieces to try and theorize this. My point is not to get bogged down in the details of particular names. There are at least half a dozen names out there: conversational art, social practice, socially engaged art, public art. There are many more. That's not what interests me. What interests me is what conceptually is implied by these practices, and I've suggested one. It responds to an experience and phenomenon of retrait. Care is the response to that. Being alongside, showing solidarity, episkeptestai. Dialogue underlines this, and in another context we'll see if we can get to the question of play as another response. But that strikes me as the basic structure, is what I'm saying, that once I started to think about this question of care as a way of understanding the various forms of contemporary social practice, this structure is what I propose to make sense of it, and dialogue is essential to that. So that would be a schematic introduction, and I'll be open to my colleagues and open to the audience.